Welcome back to Highly Successful Couples, the show that helps couples grow together instead of growing apart. My name's Nick Solacek, and today I have a bit of a PSA. I have a bit of a bone to pick, and when I hear stories like this, it really gets me upset, frustrated, and there's a part of me that wants to protect people from these kinds of experiences, which is part of the reason why I do this show, is that I want to try to reach as many people as possible to provide insight, great ideas, perspectives, great questions to ask, helpful tips and tricks to navigate the complicated reality of long-term romantic relationships and creating a dynamic that feels respectful, kind, loving, successful, creating relationships that we love and working through the hard stuff that comes up. And really what's inspired this conversation today is my awareness that there are certain coaches, I'm sure there are therapists out there, but there are definitely coaches, high ticket coaches charging $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 for their program, giving relationship advice. And on its face, there's no problem with that. The problem is when we start telling people what to do. And so the story that I heard is about one coach who told someone that they should just leave their relationship flat out. And it's an issue because the coach is not in a long-term relationship. They haven't been in one in over 5 years. And they have their own challenges and wounding like all of us. And they're coming from a place of basically saying, hey, if this isn't a fuck yes for you, then it's a fuck no. And I think that we're missing some important context and perspective when we think that way. It's great to root for people and want the best for them, want the best outcomes, to push people into alignment, maybe to encourage them to say, hey, it's okay to set a big goal, or it's okay to change your mind or leave the relationship. You deserve to be loved. You deserve to be happy. All those things are true. And relationships are a co-creation. So if we are unhappy in our relationship, we have contributed to that unhappiness in some way. We couldn't be unhappy with our partner if we were alone. We need something to bounce up against. We need something to react to. We need someone to respond to our stimulus, to avoid us, to get overly anxious, for them to get clingy and smothering, for them to get detached and avoidant and shut down. You know, two people are interacting with each other and creating the space between, which is a concept we've talked about before and will continue to mention. I would never tell someone to just leave their relationship without a thorough discovery. The decision to leave is up to each individual person, but it's also part of our own growth journey. It's part of our own development to get the ability and perspective to make an important decision for us, because we really, you know what? We thought about this. We've explored this. We understand the situation. And this is the decision that I'm going to make, even if it's hard. And what's scary is that people who claim to be allies in your healing and growth, your coach, your therapist, your counselor, can rob you of your ability to develop your own intuition, you know, your own ability to discern by simply just telling you what to do. And the problem with that is that you will always have to go to pay for a session for someone to tell you what to do versus you being able to develop your own knowing, your own sense of self, your own clarity about who you are and what you value and what you want. There's a caveat here, which is that, look, if someone's being abused, would I tell them to leave the relationship? Maybe. What I would tell them 100% is to get space, get safety, go somewhere where you can get away from the abusive behavior, get some professional support, and from there, make a choice about what to do next. It is possible for people to change abusive dynamics. If a couple is willing to work on things, I'm going to support that. Maybe they want to quit drinking and stop calling each other nasty names. Maybe they want to treat each other with respect instead of throwing plates against the wall. when they're upset. And that's up to them. You know, my job is to hold the hope for couples that are struggling. Now, that kind of situation, an abusive situation, is very different from what most of us are dealing with. Most of us are dealing with resignment, hopelessness, negativity, frustration, and resistance from our partner. You know, not wanting to go to therapy is very different than being actively abused. Yes, getting resistance from your partner, feeling your partner's dismissiveness, avoidance, and denial is very painful, hurtful, and it just makes you feel more stuck, more hopeless, unsure about what to do. And if you're in that situation, I'd encourage going back to episode 2 of this show where we talk about dealing with resistance. So revisit that episode if you haven't listened already. Over the last 5 years, I have had people with clinical training, people with coaching certifications, suggest that it might be time for me to leave my relationship and that that might be the right decision for me. And speaking to me as if, you know, that's like as if I've already had the conversation and reassuring me that everything's going to be okay. And the reason that they were saying that is that they don't want to see me suffer. They don't want me to be overwhelmed. They probably don't want to spend more of their time helping me process the difficult situations in my relationship. They want me to be happy in a healthy relationship. And hopefully, you have people in your life that care about you, that want the best for you, and don't want to see you suffer. And sometimes without perspective, proper training, and expertise, we will just kind of say something to hope to speed that process up, to get a person out of their difficult situation. Now, if we work through things ourselves in our life, we might realize that, hey, you know, we're missing a lot of perspective. Well, I have my own biases. You know, maybe you should see an expert about this or get some support. We might offer that or recommend that. But, you know, naturally, when someone you know is not loving their relationship, it makes sense to consider the option that they leave and meet someone else, you know, to meet a partner who's more aligned. It makes sense that if you're not satisfied, things aren't going well in your romantic partnership, that you have doubts, that you're considering leaving, that you're not sure if you guys can make it work. And you might feel like you're kind of at a dead end. One of the problems here is that when someone is sharing about the relationship issues, we're only hearing from one individual about what is going on. So if I'm complaining to you, oh, you know, geez, the old ball and chain, she's such a nag, blah, 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 blah. You're just hearing my perspective. You're hearing my take on the situation. You're not hearing my partner. You're not hearing her frustration, her complaint. And that matters because a relationship is not only the perspective of one person. It is two people. Relationships are a co-creation. Both people are contributing to that space between. They're contributing to the dynamic. And you have no idea what's been expressed, what's been withheld between these two people. We're only hearing one side. We're missing a lot of information. And very often when someone is venting or sharing about their difficulty and their pain and what's happening for them, they're also sharing all about their partner and how their partner is the problem, or at least that's often how it's going to sound. Because they're having anxiety about their experience, they're having fear come up. So they're talking specifically about that. And they share about how their partner does certain things that make them feel hurt and anxious. They're focused on the problem and leaving out the other things that they appreciate, or leaving out the good things that their partner does do, or the things that they've got right. So we're just missing context, and we got to be careful about giving too much advice, telling someone exactly what they should do in these situations. We really need to be more curious and ask good questions. It's also almost always true that we are projecting some of our childhood onto our partner. So when someone's sharing with you about their complaint, their frustration, their fear, their anxiety, part of that information is all about their childhood. So you are getting a version of the story that's not complete. And it doesn't mean that, you know, someone's experience is not valid. It just means it isn't complete. You're almost never getting the full picture when only one partner is sharing about the relationship. right? So you're getting important information, but not all the information. And as I said before, that's because it's a co-creation. Takes two to tango. Everything we say and do, everything we don't say and don't do, everything we give, everything we withhold, the quiet expectations and the loud resentments, all of these things shape the space between. So when someone says they don't like their relationship and their partner is not willing to work on things, it's easy to say, well, you know what? If it's not a fuck yes, then you deserve better. But the problem is that a fuck yes relationship is created by two responsible adults who are willing to put in the work. It's not found. We do not stumble upon it. And yes, we can randomly meet the person who becomes our life partner. It can be happenstance or out of a movie or something magical. The honeymoon phase can last for a year or two, but eventually over time, it will take hard work and difficult conversations to make a relationship great. We're going to have to learn. We're going to have to gain perspective. We're going to have to learn new tools. So what happens when someone leaves the relationship after 5 years because they're unhappy? Do they automatically get into that more aligned relationship? Maybe, but often they just repeat the same patterns. They trade one body for another body and they play out the same stuff because we can fire our partner anytime, but we can't trade our core scene from our childhood. That is always coming with us. And it is always going to play a small or significant role in our life, in our relationship, depending on how much work we've done on that, how aware of these patterns we are, what is our ability to actually notice what's coming up, notice if we have like a part online or we're triggered, how good are we at being like, oh, I'm going to flag that and communicate to my partner about what's happening for me to let them know, you know, do we have an emergency plan? Do we have agreements about what happens when we get triggered or when there's tension? Do we have an approach? Do we have a clear strategy, some way that we resolve our conflicts to ensure that moments of tension don't become months or years of disagreement and resentment? So what actually matters is getting clear on a few things. And number one, have you sought outside counsel? So if someone's telling me about their relationship challenges and problems, I think, how has couples therapy been going? Have you both been going to regular sessions? Have you gotten coaching on this? Have you dug into the therapeutic process to get more perspective on the situation? What have you done to try and resolve the situation? How has that gone? And when I say this, I'm talking about couples work. Working on things as an individual is very different than working on things as a couple. And it's got to involve you and your partner. I hear from a lot of people who are in 5, 10, 15, 20 or 30 year relationships, and they've been going to individual therapy, individual coaching, but they haven't done any couples work with their partner and they're not getting any results. They're still stuck. They're still not the changes that they're seeking. And that's because the other partner is not there in the room with them for a number of reasons. So if we're going to move our relationship from a place of doubtfulness, hopefulness, feeling like we're at a dead end, we're going to need both people to do the work. One person cannot do the work of two. All right, next point. Does your partner understand that there are deal breakers? Do they understand that there are things taking place that are not feeling good or not making you feel so good? Are they aware that you are so unhappy that you're considering leaving, that you're considering separation or divorce? Or do you keep these feelings to yourself and only have private conversations with other people? Do you only talk about this in private with your therapist? Or do you talk about it with the person who matters the most, your partner? Do you work on things in your own mind instead of asking your partner for what you need and sharing about what's important to you in a positive context? Number three, do you clearly understand how your childhood impacts your adult relationship? Are you and your partner crystal clear on the unmet need you brought from childhood into your adult relationship. Because we all do this. Most of us are just not aware of this pattern and how it plays a role. We all bring an unmet need unconsciously outside of our awareness. We bring an unmet need into our adult relationship. We expect our partner to meet that need, but they know nothing about it. Both people do this, and then they fight about the fact that their needs are not getting met. This is the main psychological pattern with respect to this childhood aspect. We bring this hurt from the past, this thing we didn't get, and now it's really important to us and we value it, and we want our partner to show up in a certain way to make us feel loved and appreciated. But they fail to do so for a variety of reasons, including this opposites attract dynamic where we select a partner who has trouble meeting our needs. The thing that we need the most is the hardest thing for them to give us, because we've selected a partner who matches and is familiar to our childhood in certain ways. They are like our parents in certain ways. And so the way that they show up, the way they behave, the way they see the world can remind us of something from before that was hurtful, painful, stressful for us. If your partner is fully aware of your dissatisfaction, but is unwilling to do anything about it, then that's a difficult position. And maybe the right decision is to leave, but you want to make sure you've done some exploration with a trained facilitator before making a life-changing decision. If we're going to invest $100,000 in something, we would get counsel. We would get advice from an expert. We would want to make sure that our investment is secure and has a strong opportunity to generate returns for us. But for our relationships, we just say, I'm not happy. Maybe I should leave, or maybe I should find a new partner who will love me in the way that I want to be loved. And again, maybe, you know, we invest our hearts in relationships and people, but we don't do any research. We don't do any learning. We don't read books, take courses, go to therapy, get coaching so that we can get a ROI in the investment of our heart, you know? And I think it makes sense that everyone who's listening to this is that kind of person who's saying, hey, you know what? I want to learn. I want to grow. And if I'm going to put my heart on the line, I'm going to trust someone with my life, the outcome of our relationship, that I'm going to do my best to learn what I can, to learn how to love them better, to be a more present, respectful, wise partner, and to understand what makes us tick, what makes relationships work. What makes our conflicts turn? What drives our reactivity? And how can we eliminate the negativity? How can we be more positive? How can we work together to make our dreams and our goals come true? So this is a very personal decision. And it's upsetting to me to hear that, you know, people are paying tens of thousands of dollars to just get told that they should leave the relationship. And the coach in that situation is just lacking a lot of perspective and a lot of information. As I said before, you know, there are days where I have been told that I should leave my relationship. And my partner would admit this, that there are days where we have both felt that maybe we shouldn't be together, or maybe this is it. Maybe we should break up. Maybe we should take a break. Maybe we should get our own apartments and live separately and try that. But after getting support and turning towards therapy and asking good questions, and not just any therapist, right? Not all therapists are good therapists, just like not all mechanics are good mechanics. Some doctors aren't that great. Some lawyers are disbarred. It takes time. Sometimes you got to meet a few therapists to find the right one, get referred to someone that's trusted or has created results for other people. But me and my partner hanging in with this process, we realized that we were just stuck and hopeless versus really actually truly wanting to end things. We were just in a dark room and didn't know where the door was. We realized that we had way more to learn and a lot of growing to do. And we had a high level of willingness to hang in there and work on things. And what that created for us was more resilience, more hopefulness, more understanding of some of the things that come up. We realized that part of our psyche is triggered and disturbed by things that go on because it's connected to a painful memory of the past. And then that pain, that past pain, drives our reactivity today, creating more pain and dissatisfaction. And by working on things, we've eliminated a lot of negative patterns. We've created more safety and more security. We focus more on alignment, positive outcomes that we desire, and remembering what our growth opportunities are so we can take those on in difficult moments, because that's really when it matters the most. You know, you don't have to work on everything with everybody. I have left several relationships, right? In the decades of dating and exploring relationships, I have ended several relationships. Some of them I admit prematurely because I was unhappy, because I didn't like my life and I was projecting that onto my partner. And I thought maybe if I get out of this or I meet a new partner, then I'll be happy. And I discovered that, wow, you know, that wasn't true. And there was parts of me online, fearful, anxious parts, running the show, not understanding my psyche, the way that my childhood impacts my adult experience, not realizing that my unhappiness was just put onto the person closest to me. Sometimes ending a relationship is the most loving and most aligned thing you can do. Sometimes your growth edge is to leave, but the challenge is that we experience some complicated dynamics in relationships. We get triggered by each other and we can have parts of us come online. And I am not certified in internal family systems, also known as IFS, but my partner and I are getting better at recognizing that we have parts that come online. After doing this work over, you know, a few years, we realize, okay, there are parts. And I think it could be helpful for me to just mention this here for anyone that's interested. A lot of the people that I work with, a lot of my clients understand IFS or have worked with that modality before. So when I use the word part, they get it. And I'm just going to read something, written about internal family systems to convey this and just pay a little tribute here to Richard Schwartz's work. Maybe introduce this to some of you who aren't familiar with this approach and perspective. So internal family systems was created by Richard Schwartz. He's got a couple of great books. And the principle is basically that we all have parts within ourselves. So sub personalities, like little people who have different goals and motivations, different levels of maturity, excitability, wisdom. And the truth is this is not only IFS. Every major school of psychology recognizes that people have different sub-personalities, that we have different motivations. We can feel differently about the same thing. We can be torn. And how we get along with these different parts of ourselves depends on our internal leadership skills, how we listen, right? How we listen to our different parts when things are coming online, getting curious about where our thoughts coming from, making sure these parts of ourselves are taken care of, keeping them from sabotaging each other. And we may have positive parts within ourselves, like warmth, creativity, being a carer, but we may also have elements of behavior we don't like, such as aggression, self-loathing, or an overblown inner critic. So internal family systems sees consciousness as composed of various parts or sub-personalities, and each with its own perspective, interests, and memories and viewpoint. So a core tenet is that every part of us has a positive intent. So even if we have a part of us that might be a little counterproductive or dysfunctional in some way, there's a positive intent that's part of that, like something protective. Maybe we behave a certain way because we want a certain outcome that's, you know, we're trying to protect ourselves from pain, hurt, loss. And the thinking is that, you know, this means that there's never really any reason to fight with, coerce, or try to eliminate a part of us. So the IFS method promotes this kind of internal connection and harmony. So maybe I can speak to this in another way, which is like, if your partner is behaving in a way that doesn't make sense to you, or they're getting overwhelmed or really negative, but their reaction doesn't seem to match the context of the situation, it's like, you know, the volume doesn't match the genre of music that we're playing. It's likely that they have something coming up or that a part of them is online. And the same thing's true for us. When we get really reactive, we get these really heavy feelings, we get really shut down, we can have a part of us coming online. And when your partner doesn't make sense to you, or you don't make sense to your partner, we're going to have reactions to this stuff. You know, you're going to have a reaction to your partner's reaction and potentially have your own part come online. And the challenge is sometimes we can have this part online and it seems like our entire reality. It just feels totally true that our partner is out to get us, or that, you know, they are never going to change and, you know, we should leave this relationship. We need to get out. Right? A protective part of us wants to prevent us from experiencing pain, hurt, more trauma, other difficulty. And in these moments, we can both be interacting from these parts, from a wounded, fearful place. And many people make decisions to leave or blow up their relationship from these places that lack what IFS calls self-energy, you know, this safe, grounded connection to self where things feel okay. So if you can, you know, don't let this be you. Don't blow up your life just because a high ticket coach tells you to. Do some exploration, seek support, get guidance from someone that asks great questions versus is telling you that you should leave. Now, if you hire a money manager, maybe them telling you what to do with your money, right, could be good. And if you're in a relationship, okay, talk about it with your partner. If you're an individual and you're single and you hire a fitness coach to help you maybe lose fat, gain muscle, all right, well, maybe do what they're telling you to do, unless it causes some harm, you get hurt or injured, maybe they're being irresponsible. There's all kinds of ways that people could make decisions that aren't unethical or take advantage of someone. But with couples, with the relationship stuff, we really need to be careful about going to someone as an individual, telling them about all our problems. And if their answer is just simply, you know, you should leave, we need to kind of flag that and consider as to whether that is actually the right approach and whether there's an opportunity to explore things in a different way. So saying all this to say that, you know, seek support from a couples therapist, seek support from someone that's certified in couples therapy, couples coaching, that actually has gone through a program. Some couples want to work with a facilitator that is actually in a long-term relationship. I think that that's fine. If you're comfortable with that, you want to be working with someone that actually is walking the walk, practicing what they preach. I know that there are many great facilitators out there that are not necessarily in a long-term relationship. There are people that are 50, 60, 70, for example, and might have lost a partner, but they still have a lot of wisdom and expertise to bring. You got to use your own intuition here. The most important thing is that you and your partner pick a facilitator that you both feel safe with, that you both feel comfortable with. That's what matters the most. And if you both have a high degree of willingness, you can transform your relationship. You can move through, break through old patterns that are keeping you stuck and rebuild something new. Is that going to be easy? Probably not. Is it going to be like snapping your fingers and just ordering a new couch online? No. It's going to require some heavy lifting, some emotional work. Some of that might be spiritual work. And as I work with more couples and as I work with my partner in our relationship, I realize that, you know, this type of conversation around conscious relationship is more spiritual than I've previously considered it to be. There is something much deeper here about our purpose together and the paradoxes. When we really look at it, we lay everything out, we talk more about it. The paradoxes, you know, that draw us together, the complementary opposites attract dynamic, the growth edges that we identify as adults that have roots to our childhood, that we realize, wow, there's something really here around a higher purpose, a higher vision for me as a person, for us as a couple, and to maintain a clear set of values and not get distracted or pulled in all kinds of different directions based on all the noise around us, which could be our family telling us what to do, could be society with certain ideas about right or wrong, could be our friends telling us, well, you know, you've been together 3 years and they haven't proposed yet, so, you know, maybe you need to give an ultimatum. There's all kinds of bad ideas floating in the ether, coming out of people's mouths. And I want to be here to try to guard against that as best as possible. I don't know everything, but I can tell you one thing for sure, that when one individual is sharing about their relationship, you are simply not getting the full picture. Couples benefit from getting support. And one of the most difficult things to accept is that couples on average wait 6 years before seeking support for the challenges they face. They wait 6 years to put their hand up, to submit an inquiry, to seek out a therapist, to get a third party in the room. 6 years. And some couples don't even do that. They never get started. They never work on their challenges. And that's a heartbreaking reality. So I hope that all of you are benefiting from this podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next week. And as always, all of you know by now that this show is not driven by ad dollars or sponsors. This is simply my own creation. And the whole idea is just not to waste your time with any clutter or filler and get straight to the point and deliver value every week. In exchange, I'd love if you shared an episode of this podcast with a friend. I would love it if you left a 5-star review. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.